to come to Kaduna any more than I feel as if I'm called to it, then I have to do it. I began to think in the U.S. that I would come into the South, but I would make it up north as the door opened. I did not want my mother to know I'm up north, and I will not tell her I've ever been here if I can help it. And the people in the U.S. are afraid of the north of Nigeria. Everyone is. But I've obtained mercy, and I believe that this is where he would have me to be and to minister. And I've been treated so well. My host is here. The widow has prepared a bed and a table and a meal and a lamp. And I'll be coming back to spend much more time here. The people in the churches here in Katsina have been very kind and hospitable. We had to sleep on a mattress on the floor, and the worst part was in my room. I had three other men. I find nothing attractive about men snoring or even being around me as I'm trying not to sleep. But I endure. That's the worst of it so far. But the challenge that I truly face in my soul is to preach the gospel. It's not easy. It's not, it does not just happen. There are so many tricks of the devil. And I try to keep a watch on my soul. I know what it's like to fall and stumble and withdraw. So I'm exceedingly afraid of any of that, not having the Holy Spirit in my preaching. I'd rather die. And so as I was meditating on that fact, I hope, I trust, I think, and I believe I have been led to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, and I want to preach a message on compromise. As I've been going different places to preach the gospel, and I do see that some come to believe or to hear it and they say amen, I'm constantly concerned, like Paul was, that they would continue in the faith. I don't want them to draw back. I had a man and his wife that came to see us today at Ma's house. I don't use that word easily, Ma. I got a Ma back home. Ma. But they came, and I was so encouraged because his conviction was the gospel. A lot of people, they attempt to use me to get a visa, which I can't give, and I wouldn't give just to anybody, or to get money, which I don't have, and if I do have, it's to be spent very wisely. I had a person contact me this morning. I had preached at the church, I believe, with power, with great power. And this young lady, she contacted me, and for a few days, with all the chatting, and I knew that she was out for something. And they want money, and they will stick around for a long time in order to get it. I wish they just asked and I could say no or yes. But to have this man come this afternoon infatuated with the gospel, the more I talked about it, the happier he got. Until his eyes almost teared and he just got excited. He's a quiet man. But election, predestination, redemption, justification by faith, scriptures alone, holiness by the gospel, the old gospel. Hudson Taylor, he preached the gospel. He's an old Baptist. He went and he laid his life down. I forget if it was in India or was that China? That was China. Him and Mr. William C. Burns were in China. But Hudson was a man who prepared for his ministry by, in the UK, as he missed meals, as he would live off of faith. He didn't ask anybody to supply his needs. He just wanted to pray and everything and then go. And that's the example I followed. I spent 18 months or more just praying and the money I would need of the company. I didn't ask, I prayed. And it helps my confidence that I didn't ask, I prayed, and it came. It helps you feel more bold. That it is of God. It isn't of myself. He'll take care of it. But the preaching of the gospel is the hardest thing a man's ever had to do consistently, because the devil is out to get us and take us off message. It says in verse number 1 from 2 Chronicles 18, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. He had these riches and this honor because God the Holy Spirit, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, had honored him with obedience and allegiance unto the gospel. He was not like the forefathers who were unfaithful. He was very faithful. He was very zealous. And he was a king, the scripture says in the book of 1 Kings, who the other kings all around him feared. So in short, his successfulness, it was his obedience. It's a picture of a soul that is satisfied with God and has been blessed with God's presence. That is Jehoshaphat. But he made an allegiance with Ahab through marriage. He became his son-in-law. He compromised. If you remember, Ahab was the wickedest king in all of Israel. He had a wife named, what was her name? Jezebel. And she tricked Israel into fornication, into adultery. That's the picture of Revelations 2. She conspired with him on his behalf to kill a man, to take his vineyard. This man said that this piece of property has been given to me by God according to the law. I cannot give it away. And then Jezebel conspired, had him killed, and took his property, and she gave it unto her husband Ahab. And so Ahab was a cruel man. He was merciless and did not worship, love, or honor God. And here is Jehoshaphat trying to make a league with him. And that is the temptation on my soul, and I'm sure on our team. What are you going to do with the gospel? You going to compromise? What the devil wants me and you to do is to not preach it, not preach it faithfully, compromise it, hide it, slow it down, demand that people don't really have to believe. That's the devil. That's what happened to Eli. He warned his sons, he reproved his sons, but he didn't grab them by the neck and throw them out because they were defaming the house of God with their fornication and their idolatry and their covetousness of their flesh. And the Lord God reproved him and took his ministry.
What am I scared of? I'm scared of ever preaching a gospel that you don't have to believe. I'm scared of allowing any man's opinion to have any importance over the word. I don't want a gospel that's optional. There is nothing I preach that is optional. It's all to be believed. And that's what Paul did. He spent his life, and that's why he was so hated, is the Apostle Paul didn't just preach Christ. He came back and he wrote and he said, this is what it means, and you have to believe. There is no choice. He said, if it's not election, it's works. Either man is justified by faith or it's by works, and he's not justified at all. Either it's all grace, 100% grace, and either the kingdom of God is spiritual, or those men who preach that godliness is a way to get money, they are depraved in their mind, they are destitute of the truth, they are devoid of the gospel. He did not say it's okay because everybody says Jesus. He said Christ died for our sins. What? That's the truth of it, according to the scriptures. And the scriptures say that he was a substitute. It was the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. He was a surety for God's elect. A surety, according to scripture, means he assumed the full responsibility of the salvation of God's people himself. So it ceased to be our responsibility, it became his. In the book of Proverbs, it said, don't you be no surety. Because as soon as you strike hands, you're going to have to pay. And the Lord Jesus Christ, from everlasting, said, I'm going to have to pay for my people's sins. And according to the scriptures, he died as a satisfaction. He appeased the anger of the wrath of God. And that's not easy. He had to die. His soul had to be made an offering for sin. A lamb of blood had to be shed on some of the offerings, like the burnt offering. It had to be consumed in the fire all night long. It's a particular king. I don't remember his name. But he was roasted. Oh, it was kings. It was a man named Zedekiah in the book of Jeremiah who was roasted in the fire because he had disobeyed God, and the curse came on him, and his punishment was that somebody roasted him in the fire. Our Lord Jesus Christ endured worse than that. His body, it was not made an offering for sins so much as it was his soul. His body was hanging there on the cross, but his soul was being tormented and afflicted by God. He was being punished by God Almighty himself until he made an end of sin. Nothing but ashes left. No more sins unto be punished in God's eyes. And then God raised him from the dead. And he died and was buried, and he rose again according to the scriptures that he might be Lord. That he might rule, that he might reign, that there might be no salvation, yes, in him as Savior, but in his Lordship, that he may rule over us with the gospel of his life, that he may get into our hearts and compel us to bow down and obey him with love willingly. He rules and reigns as Lord, absolute, total, sovereign of the universe. That's the word I'm sure you understand. Your almighty power, exercising it at all times over everything, men and devils and events and everything that moves and wills. That's God manifested in the flesh. Our Lord Jesus Christ. But the gospel that men want to preach, Mark, is to take away all of that and let that be at Jesus. And then we say amen. We can't say amen. It's compromise. That's amen. We can have nothing to do with that. As the pastor was saying, and he went and he preached in a place that was ungodly. I'll preach anywhere. In a bar, at a Klan rally, at a Muslim meeting, at an atheist gathering, in a false church. But I only worship God the true way. I only preach the gospel. It is never optional. And I never let anybody preach who doesn't have the message. Well, that's not common. It's okay to believe something else other than the gospel. Are you going to say the gospel? Are you going to draw back because it's tough? And this is what I was saying, my brothers. Is that's why they hated Paul, is he laid it on the record and said, you have to do it this way. And so people call him names and say he's wrong. He was the most hated man on the earth. And the greatest Christian at the same time. Those two things have to go together. We got to stand. You got to stand. No matter what, we got to stand. All the pressure, all the tricks, we have to stand. Verse number 2 and 3. And so he's been joined unto Ahab by marriage. Then, after some years, it wasn't a departure from Christ. No. This man, by degrees, he began to get slack in his commitment and his boldness, it began to taper off. Now, Jehoshaphat is a man that God recovered. He's a man that God kept. He's a proof that when God gives salvation, he never takes it back. He keeps on saving until the very end. And even though we fall and stumble, he is still with us. Ahab is a man who's compromised the gospel until he hates it. But after years, after he married her, and things are okay, I'm sure, some years later, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria. And Ahab, and you know about Samaria, its wickedness, it was the first place to run away from God and depart of the tribes up in Israel. And Ahab, oh look what Ahab did. He's so sweet. He's so kind. He's so in love with Jehoshaphat. All he wants to do, because he is controlled by Satan, is make Jehoshaphat compromise his God. He said, you come join me. And so Ahab sacrificed many sheep and cattle for him and for the people who were with him. He had a great party, a great festival. He stirred up the flesh. Then he persuaded him to march up to Ramoth Gilead, to join league with the devil, to fight on the side of wickedness, to fight the gospel of God by compromise, to take off the edge, to quit preaching it in the power of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is not in our message, is not from God in common. We can have intellectual accuracy
and will lead men to hell because it's unbelief in the flesh. Our brother Jude said of those who turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, which things they know naturally, and those things they corrupt themselves. They know the doctrine of predestination, but they know it in the flesh, and so they live ungodly and use it as an excuse unto sin. We got to have it in the Holy Spirit, or we're worthless. Truth by itself has never saved anybody. It's the Word and the Spirit. That's what makes it born again. That's why I need God so much. It's not because I can't figure out a text. I can't get the power if He doesn't put it in my heart. I can't live by it. It means nothing. It's got to get on the inside. And Satan wants us to compromise. Stop fellowshipping with God. Stop communing with God. Stop going to God in your first love. This man who approached me, is he said, he and his wife, we lost our first love. And now it's come back with power. It's been revived. And he was at the meetings at the River Church. But I'm thinking, what's happened all these years? And he explained, he got choked away by other folks. And did you know that having a successful missionary program and church—the only kind of church I'm interested in ever hugging hands with and saying yes—is a missionary church. Now, don't get me wrong, but being a missionary is more important than the gospel. When trying to get people unto Jesus Christ is more important than the gospel we preach unto them, we've committed idolatry. Because God does not save people except by a gospel and gift to Him. And as soon as we compromise it in order to please men, we have lost God and all of our conversions. The numbers are big, the church is big, we got missionaries everywhere, we just got no gospel. Danger! Preaching in the flesh, danger! Preaching a false gospel, danger! Preaching a compromised gospel, danger! Not saying you must believe, danger! The devil is no plaything, oh. He's so full of tricks. That's why the epistles and the whole Bible was written, to bring us back and keep us locked in. And Paul would say, I'm exceedingly concerned about you. I haven't seen you in the flesh, and the people I haven't seen, I am so concerned with tears and prayer and labor that you would finish in the gospel you started in, that you would not waver. You would not let it slip. You would not compromise or alter anything. I think those Baptists from old time told the truth now about the gospel. I think they had it right. Not perfect. Only the Bible is perfect. But that old doctrine can't be improved, Pastor. It's the doctrine of God. I challenge any man with the Bible to be my God in the Bible. That's what a Calvinist is. A Calvinist is a man who says, this is what the Bible says, and I say, this is the Word of God. No matter what you say, let's compare and come to truth from Scripture. He's a scriptural fanatic. If it can't be proven, if it can't be enforced, if it can't be preached and bring glory unto Jesus Christ, we don't want to have that. Who do we go to church for, Ma? Is it for ourselves or is it for God? If it's for God, He'll honor. If it's for ourselves, we we've already compromised and missed the gospel. We've already been tricked by Satan, as happy as we are to have this. Pastor, this is shuffling. Oh, this is shuffling. But I go in the churches, even Baptist churches, and the singing is so good, and the dancing, the happiness, the joy, the beautiful colors on the ladies' garments. But preach that gospel, people get all shocked. They turn their head. They refuse to. They try to get comfortable in their city because they don't have God. Well, they love that gospel. They tune into it, and the pastor will say, "Amen." That's right. Keep on preaching, and people will say, "Yeah."
I think it is his favorite way to bring the man into hell is preaching a false gospel. Oh, but help her. Please have her come to hell as she sings about Jesus, but not Christians. He's only interested in one thing, blinding our eyes and our minds to the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. He can be a religious God. He loves him. When the unclean spirit has got out of on his own, he comes back into that man and says, "Oh, he's so cleaned up. Let me get 7 more devils and make our home here." He's made that man a preacher. You hear me? He used to be a prostitute of himself with his body and flesh, and now he's a preacher. And he's even more wicked. He used to leave himself in the hell and just a few friends. Now he needs a church. Great danger on my soul. And brothers and sisters, I'm scared. So I get back to the scriptures and say, "Lord, don't let me preach my message. Don't let me preach in the flesh. Don't let me do it. Show it to me. Lord, is this me or is it you? I know it's true, but is it you?" It's in the spirit. The spirit is not reserved for the Pentecostals. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I serve him with my life, but he makes me preach Jesus from the scriptures. God knows. You can hear me. You can understand my language. You can understand my message. A little of the burden of my heart. I'm scared. Those two things work together. I'm terrified and I'm passionate about him at the same time. I do not want to offend him and I want to honor him. Help me, God. Because I'm scared, Pastor, that on my own I'm Jehovah's Witness. I don't want to go there. I've been there. I've dishonored God just like Jehoshaphat. I don't ever want to go back. He broke his ships because he did this twice. After Ahab died, he did it with another king, and the Lord destroyed his ships, all his work, turned garbage. But he saved his soul. Merciful Lord. But I'd rather be saved and have my work appear at the end of the day to give God glory. There's no rewards in heaven except to see you there. How's it gold? Are you kidding me? Who cares? Diamonds, pearls? Is that what heaven's about? Is to see him and you? That's it. That's why we labor. There's nothing else. There's no brownie points. "Oh, you're such a good boy. Christ died for our sin." How can we give God more than that? But to see somebody else who you haven't.
Just to know I helped you. That's preaching. That's pastor. That's being a missionary. Verse 3 says, it's for Israel's King Ahab. As Judah's king, Jehoshaphat. Israel's king was an evil king, but the king of Judah, he was a good king, but he slipped up here. And he asked him, will you go with me to Ramoth Gilead? Will you join my ministry even though I'm not preaching Christ with truth and power? No. I'll go with you to preach the gospel, but I'll never get up underneath your authority and let you preach at my meetings. Because I know how the gospel and you're not. You got to learn it before you can preach to my people. I'm not going to slaughter their souls and have them think that what he said is okay, even if it ain't the truth. That's impossible.
But Jehoshaphat, our dear brother, he replied to him and said, I am as you are. My people are as your people. We will be with you in the battle. And if you know about this text, or you can read it on your own, the false prophets had told him that he would succeed in battle. And Jehoshaphat said, let's call this other prophet, as we'll get to in just a minute. And then the prophet Micaiah is a mighty man of God. Because he's a man whose name ought to be heard much more of. If I had a son, I'd be very tempted to name it after Micaiah. It's another brother back in the U.S. that already. He stood up and he told the truth. And the king went into battle, King Ahab did, and he died. But they first thought that the Jehoshaphat was the king. Because the king told the Jehoshaphat that she wear all the royal stuff, and then he put himself in some of the servants' clothing, trying to be sneaky with God who prophesied his death. But when Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord heard him, and the enemy turned away, then there was a man who came home at the end of the job. He just pulled out an arrow. It's only one arrow left. He just turned and he was like, and he was just trying to see how far he was sent. And that arrow, it went past people, and it went past soldiers, and it came back. They were all in his armor. The servant's clothes, and then he goes by the one spot in his armor and died. That's because God knows how to get his enemies, and he knows how to remember his people. He even snatched a lot from sorrow. Here he says he took a man, and he led him out. And when Lot's wife turned back and went back into the world, she compromised in her heart. Lot, brother, he just kept going. He didn't even look back at Lot. Well, he left his friends, his family, anybody.
Put this here.
Anybody, anything that's going to hinder you from Christ, yeah, let it go. Old Brother John Bunyan, as he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, and one of the first things he did as he pictured it, he was a man with a load of sin on his back. He put his hands into his ears, and he cried out, in the
truth of the gospel. Not just the name.
The message of grace, of salvation, of everlasting life, of righteousness imputed. You preach that? Imputed righteousness? That a man is justified by faith in the Son of God.
He is as righteous as he can possibly get the man he believes. He will never get more righteous than trusting him. He's righteous forever. I tell men to keep the tithes. If you want to pay 8% of your income, you can do that. But there's no more tithing in the New Testament. You just give according as God purposes in your heart, as you purpose in your heart. But don't give in order to get, unless you're giving to get the blessing for somebody else. If you're giving in order to spread a mission and make others happy in Christ, then you're going to give wisely. If you're giving in order to get more righteous with God, if you're giving because you want a blessing that's of this world, you are covetous and greedy. And that's not God. That's really giving unto yourself in a transactional investment scheme with yourself. And God's not there. And you'll have enough of it. He gives unto men freely. He gave us his Son. My filthy knife is going to buy something that the blood of Christ did not. Jesus Christ. And when I give, I say thank you to that. Can never give enough to earn anything. But thank you, Lord. Take and use it for somebody. And then you get joy, you get peace, you provide your needs. Other people are able to praise God and thank God for you. There's a man that supports me mightily. I pray for him continuously because God puts him on my heart. I'm so thankful for him. And every time I preach, he accepts it. I don't have to worry about, I don't have to worry about anything, right? Just preaching. But he takes it like a man, like a Christian man. No transactions with God. Free grace. He gives, and so you give. And then he gives you and me back whatever he wants. If I give my salary and he gives me sickness, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's a joke, right? Not to him, sin with his mouth. The Lord gives you, the Lord takes. Bless his holy name. You better stay there. It bothers me. Why are you shocked to die? What did he do to keep him from dying? Who is he? That he should not die? No, I understand how the problem is. It would be a shock. But you say, God willed it. Not, oh, he was so wonderful. He was so good. He preached so well. Oh, God really needed him. What kind of God is that? That needs somebody? Not when he gave his Son. And he gives eternal life to whom he pleases. Brother John Bunyan died. The Catholic Church killed him. And you say, what's going to happen unto your brother John Michael said, as he was being put to death for putting the scriptures in the language of the people. The first English language transaction or translation. voice of a changed Catholic Church. About 100 years later, Brother Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses. And he wasn't even saved at the time. But about 2 years later, he got the gospel with power. And you were shook. And millions were saved in 100 years. Churches everywhere. Until they overthrown a Catholicism in Germany. In Switzerland, in France, in England, God will lead nobody. He raises up a man as he goes and uses him. But he'd make the very stone of this building like a cry if he had to.
So we don't give in order unto get some type of a carnal blessing. That's not of God. And you know it. And it doesn't work anyway. He's not bumped. He can't be bumped like that. And the devil doesn't pay all that well. If you're trying to buy blessings, and the devil doesn't pay you like the promise. But back to this text. That was a side note. I hope it's helpful. Verse number 4 says, but a Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, first please ask what the Lord's will is. He's still a convicted, he's still conscious of God, he still has a Savior, he's still wrong, but he's still right at the same time. And so the king of Israel gathered the prophets, 400 men, he asked them, should we go to Ramoth Gilead for war, or should I refrain? And here's what the false prophets always do. Oh, they blast. They just blast and blast and blast. I never hear false prophets preaching curses in Nigeria. They're always blessing.
It's always your year, it's your month, and it's your new day. Every time you go here, you won't get sick and you won't die. Don't curse me to live here forever. I won't die sometime. Oh, they get blessed.
March up and God will hand it over to the king. They told him exactly what he wanted.
And that's what false prophets do. If you do the best you can, surely God, he'll receive you. Oh. Is the best I can, is that good enough? That's the religion I tried before God saved me. I took Jesus Christ and the best I can. And I put them together in a stew of damnation. Christ alone. If you touch it, if you add anything unto it, it's unbelief, and all you do is add your own sin. You better stick to that precious blood alone. Christi Kadai. Christi Kadai. Stop trying. I can wear the uniform easier than I can wear the Ahusa and evil. But do you understand? Preachers preach, all you gotta do is serve God the best you can. Read your Bible, pay your money, and everything will be okay with you. That's a lie. You must be born again. You must be regenerated. You must get a miracle nature. That's the gift of God. People say, if you believe, you will be born again. All you got to do is believe. No, no, no. If you believe, you have been born again. You see the difference? No man can see or enter the kingdom of God except by the Holy Ghost and the water of the Word. I can't even see I'm bald. I can't see I'm blind.
And he gave it to me because he elected me from before
He saved us on purpose. He would never have let you die in your sin. Not God. Not his everlasting love. He said, I set my love upon them. Therefore, with loving kindness, I will draw them. I lay down my life for the sheep. Let's hit this last thing. And so after the false prophets, they made their PowerPoint presentations, and they made horns, and they made their predictions of all was going to be well, and they preached what every man wants to hear in his flesh. But Jehoshaphat asked, isn't there a Hashimu, and a Clark, and a pastor, and a man, and a woman that's faithful to God? Isn't there a prophet of Yahweh, of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God our Father, here anymore? That stuff just sounds pretty fishy. That's what he's saying. Let's ask him. And then, this is our last scripture verse here from Chronicles. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man. And even though at the beginning I told you I want to talk about compromise, this is the actual subject or the title of the sermon. Still one man. Among many, there's still one who can ask God, who can ask Yahweh, who can ask the Lord. This one prophet, this one man has God's message. I don't know what they were doing, fooling around with those other prophets in the first place, except they actually wanted to hear that they were blessed, even though they were not. I had a woman in a quiet room tell me, even though my pastor preaches lies, and I know it, I will still go listen unto him because I'm poor and I need the hope. She had heard a lie exposed and the truth preached, and she said, I'm going back unto the lie because I need the hope. I need to feel good while I'm going to get rich, even though it's never going to happen. Because that truth doesn't promise me what I want in this world. So I'm not going to lie. That's a sad condition of sinful man. But look what he says, and I'm wrapping up. But I hate him. He gets what God has to say. He speaks for God, speaks unto God, but I hate him because he never prophesied good about me. Well, it's because you are a sinner, Ahab, and you refuse to repent. And even in this chapter, he told him, go back home. Don't go into battle. And then when Ahab refused the peace that had been offered to him, he told him that you're going to die in battle, and the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all of these prophets, and you shall not come back home today. Micaiah did prophesy good. He just didn't want to hear it. I'm preaching everlasting life. That's good enough, isn't it? Even if we die, that we live forever and we never die. But I hate him because he never prophesied good about me, but only disaster, and he is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. In conclusion here, I just wanted to say this. We be that one way. He's been with me everywhere I've gone for the last 18 days. He's the only man here I know so well. Can he hold on to this gospel and not turn back when I'm gone? Can you and I be that one? compels you to make a mission? Is it to ease your conscience, or because your conscience is satisfied? Is it to earn an area, or because you have everything for you? What compels you and me not to compromise? Is it the love of Christ? Yes, I fear God. Your chest, yes. I don't want to go back to where I've been. You know, unless you didn't, you don't know. It's a lie. But it's one fear. I love him. Because he's the only reason I'm not going to heaven. What spared your soul? Is it the love in Christ Jesus? And that's it. If he didn't love me, he killed himself, put me behind the back. If he didn't predestine, if he didn't choose, if he didn't give me faith and come, he died in sin. What's going to tell you?
And I so pray. I plead with God. I beg you, please. Let me honor you. Help me to honor you. Keep me faithful to Jesus Christ. How about you? Thank you, Pastor.